Hello, Internet. Let's talk about OCD in movies and TV. Let's talk about obsessive compulsive disorder that is being portrayed in different movies and different TV shows. The first one I want to talk about is As Good As It Gets with Jack Nicholson. This movie was from 1997. It was a pretty popular movie. I think Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt might have got Oscars for this movie. I'm not sure. But Jack Nicholson portrays a man with OCD. In the movie, he is also a jerk to everyone. He's very grumpy, and his OCD symptoms are that he avoids touching people for fear of contamination. He washes his hands. He wears gloves. He brings utensils with him to restaurants. Also, he avoids stepping on cracks, and he does the same routine every day. He organizes things in his house, and he locks his door several times. So it portrays OCD kind of well, at least the lighter side of OCD, shall I say. But it connects OCD in this problematic way to being grumpy. And then throughout the plot of the movie is that he falls in love, which sort of warms him up. And lo and behold, that cures his OCD, or it helps him to actually seek medication for OCD or something. And so OCD, in terms of the plot, is basically a stand-in for being a grumpy old man or being a grumpy man. And that's sort of a theme in Hollywood when they portray OCD. It's sort of a stand-in for being uptight, which it is not. It's not being uptight, and it's not being grumpy. OCD is, in and of itself, a whole other problem. It's an anxiety disorder. It's horrible. So it's a little dumb in that way. So if you want to learn about OCD, take this movie with a grain of salt, As Good As It Gets. Then in 2002, Hollywood became obsessed, shall we say, with putting OCD in movies and TV shows. The first is Monk, which was on TV during the aughts. Many people are huge fans of Monk. The main character, Monk, was a detective of some kind and an investigator, and he had OCD. He counted things. He was germophobic. But so the show, I think, does kind of a good job portraying OCD in some ways. But as always, it turns OCD into a joke. Hollywood loves to make OCD sort of funny. You know, when you're watching the show, it's like, oh, isn't that so funny that he hates germs? It's like, it's just humorous. It's played as humorous. It also, the TV show also portrays therapy badly and medication badly. I won't go into the details. I know a lot of people love this show, so if you love it, great. But just also know that Monk isn't the best representation of OCD. I mean, I'm sort of two minds of this, because on one hand, when you have a movie star like Jack Nicholson, or you have a TV show that's beloved like Monk, portraying OCD in TV and movies, on one hand, it's great because it's raising awareness of OCD, but on the other hand, the way that it's often portrayed makes it seem like it's this minor issue that can be solved with falling in love or something like that. So on one hand, I think it's good, but on the other hand, I think it's bad. Anyway, then just 1 year later after Monk came on TV, we have a movie called Matchstick Men, which stars Nicolas Cage, and he has OCD. He has several OCD symptoms. It's a little bit more accurate representation of OCD than Jack Nicholson's As Good As It Gets. You sort of get a sense of how debilitating OCD can be. But again, it makes it into a joke. And again, through his relationship with his long-lost daughter, that loosens him up and he is suddenly cured, or at least it's implied that he's cured. So again, this OCD is sort of a stand-in for being uptight and isolating and this sort of thing. And then as soon as a woman enters his life and sort of, you know, makes him expand his life a little bit, then suddenly he doesn't have OCD anymore, I think is the way the movie's portraying it. Anyway, the last movie I want to talk about is The Aviator. It came out in 2004. So all these movies, 2002, Monk, Matchstick Men 2003, Aviator 2004. Movie is about Howard Hughes. It's a biopic. Howard Hughes had a horrible OCD case. The movie shows it pretty well, in which he never had he had an isolation room that he isolated in, and he would never leave. And he kept jars of his own urine, and he grew his fingernails long and his hair really long, and he couldn't touch anybody. And it was legitimately horribly suffering, and they show that in the movie. he had compulsions to say a certain phrase over and over and over again. The movie, although it's not completely focused on the OCD, it's also focused on Howard Hughes' life. But I think it portrays OCD very realistically. And the key thing is that it doesn't make OCD into a joke. I mean, maybe it's because they're making the movie about an actual person, and so they had to stick to reality. And so it doesn't make OCD a joke, and it doesn't portray OCD as just a stand-in for male uptightness. And in the end of the movie, you see that the Howard Hughes character, you know, he descends into symptoms, you know, harsher symptoms of OCD at the end of the movie, and then the movie just ends. And so it gives this pretty accurate picture of someone who is suffering, and it doesn't look like there's any hope in sight. Having said that, there is hope for people with OCD. With treatment for a lot of people, with CBT and exposure therapy, with a specialist that you have to go to. You can't just go to a random therapist and expect them to be a specialist in OCD. Also, there are a lot of medications that can help. The research shows that a combination of exposure, CBT, and medication often works for people. I've worked with people with OCD and found success. It's actually one of the nicer things about our profession that we can say is that there are certain conditions like OCD that we can actually help a lot with. So, yeah, if you want a good representation, watch The Aviator. Also, The Aviator is a legit movie. I mean, you have Scorsese, Leo at their best. It's a great movie in and of itself, and it also portrays OCD really well. So that does it for that episode. Please become a patron of the podcast by going to patreon.com. I do a deep dive on OCD that is only available. It's exclusive to patrons of the podcast. I also do deep dives on several other topics. I've been doing the podcast for 10 years, so there's been a lot of deep dives. Also, if you're watching this on the main YouTube channel, there's another YouTube channel that I made called Psychology in Seattle Videos. And if you go there and subscribe there, you'll get access to just the videos, not just the audio-only episodes, if that makes any sense. All right. Please take care of yourself because you deserve it. You really do.